Satan's power has spread a Luciferian system over the world, but how will it stand up against the power of God? We'll discuss this on this episode of West Clouds Rising. I am Joe Michael, and welcome to West Clouds Rising, a site dedicated to biblical prophecy concerning the end of this age. Today we're going to talk about the power of God against Satan's army. If you listened to my last podcast, you'll know that I recently completed a move from one house to another. And while I had little time for writing blog posts or recording podcasts, it was during this time of packing and unpacking that I spent time listening to the testimonies of people. Many who had escaped Luciferian systems through God's intervention, they experienced firsthand the rituals of darkness performed by powers of this world, both human and angelic. And I found there was more to unpack in these testimonies than the stacks of boxes in my house. Now, if these testimonies are true, the infiltration of deep darkness into our world's leaders, technologies, culture, and media is extensive. And this darkness is preparing the world for the Antichrist's rise. And the world is more prepared for this than we think. So when I inquired with the Holy Spirit about how to write about some of these matters, he told me, write about the power of God. In this reply, God reminded me that he is stronger no matter how extensive and powerful the darkness is. So we can thrive in the world of darkness through our salvation in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we are to emulate Jesus' way regardless of the rising tide of evil. Now, Satan seems to think he can win, or at least rob God of his prize, that is, those he loves. He has corrupted God's creation, and his fallen angels have learned to manipulate and corrupt the power of creation. But has God ever shown Satan the depth of his power? Or has he kept his might hidden to encourage freedom? But we are about to witness the darkness appear to win as God withdraws his restraint. And soon we will see a glimpse of the power he has kept holstered, and we will stand in awe. Throughout the Old Testament, God uses his angel armies to fight and carry out sentences of judgment. We see this in 2 Kings 6 when the prophet Elisha and his attendant witness an angelic army protecting them from the Syrian army. We also see God using his angels to dispense his wrath. For example, in 1 Chronicles 21:15, God sent an army to ravage Jerusalem in judgment. And he will extensively use angels to dispatch wrath throughout Revelation 7 trumpets and bowls. There's also times when God uses his power to punish men, such as Korah's rebellion, the battle at Armageddon, and the final battle at the end of the millennial kingdom. But interestingly, when it comes to rebellious angels, God appears to use other angels to dispense judgment. For instance, at the Battle of Armageddon, it's an angel with a key to the abyss that lays hold of Satan and throws him in the abyss. And I believe this is likely the same angel with the keys to the abyss who releases Abaddon in Revelation 9. And it may very well be the same angel who imprisoned the angels going back to Genesis 6. And also note that Satan's rebellion in heaven was against Michael and his angels. Michael, or one of his angels, threw him down to earth, not God. So in considering these things, it occurred to me that for some reason, God does not directly fight angels. Now the Bible says that Satan lost his angelic war because he and his angels were not strong enough. So if Satan needs only to defeat the angels and not God to win the universe, he may see the size of his army as the key to winning. So when the Archangel Michael defeated Satan in heaven, his angels outnumbered Satan's 2-1. So to be victorious, it would be logical that Satan would need to more than double his army. Now, Satan is cunning. He's not stupid. So he must know that he cannot defeat God head on. But he must also believe that he could defeat God's angels with a big enough army. So that if he beats the army and everyone in creation, physical beings, spirits, and even the stars worship him and only him, then he will win creation. But thankfully, God is more powerful than his creation, including all the beings within it. God created all through Jesus. By him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's Colossians 1, 16 through 18. And when I think about this verse, I think about the power that a single atom can release. Imagine the sheer power required to hold all the atoms in the universe together. And he can release that hold that binds creation. Peter wrote that the current heavens and the earth are reserved for fire. And John wrote in Revelation that in the future, the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Now these phrases make me wonder if Jesus will simply let go of his hold over creation, allowing the power within it to be released. So God's power is immense. But by using angel armies, God has hidden his power from the enemy. And I believe words are not sufficient to describe his power. Now I love how this is stated in Job 26. It says, "The pillars of heaven tremble and are amazed at his rebuke. He quieted the sea with his power, and by his understanding he shattered Rahab." I'll explain that in a minute. "By his breath the heavens are cleared. His hand has pierced the fleeing serpent. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways. And how faint a word we hear of him. But his mighty thunder, who can understand?" Now just for backup, the Rahab is the myth, is like a mythical sea creature. It represents the forces of chaos in ancient Near Eastern literature. And the fleeing serpent, that's a designation for what's also called in some translations Leviathan, which is a pagan monster of the deep. That deserves additional exploration in another post. Now, the scripture is one of the scriptures that leaves me in awe of God's power. It says he shatters and pierces these pagan spirits or gods who flee from him. And yet, this is only the fringe of his power. Clearly, his power is far above the rebellious angels whom he created. Now, do these angels understand this? They must, but perhaps not. Because Job also asks, who can understand his mighty thunder, his power? Can we? For sure, the darkness can't, because John wrote, "The darkness did not comprehend it," meaning the light of Jesus. So the fallen angels seem destined to misunderstand the power of the light, the power of God. And this is their downfall. When we live our everyday lives, busy with making a living, feeding the family, and educating our children, we're distracted from acknowledging the all-powerful God who is always there. But we must not fall asleep. The darkness knows that the end of this age is near, and the battle is rising. Darkness has infiltrated society and is preparing for the lead-up to the revealing of the Antichrist. And the darkness has already taken over far more than we know. And the lawlessness and confusion we see today is hidden darkness starting to be revealed. We will see that darkness has taken over our institutions as our freedom is eroded and persecution grows. But let's not be discouraged by this. As this darkness grows, the time for our Lord to return approaches. The beast empire is striving to take over, but God is restraining it for his appointed time. He alone is sovereign. So let's stand in awe of God's mightiness and in the victory at his hand. Before him, every knee will bow and every tongue will give praise. Before I end this, I want to explain why this episode, though brief, is important in the order of episodes that I'm about to release. I'll be discussing some dark topics, pulling back the covers on the strategies of the enemy in these end times, as revealed through eyewitness testimony. Many of these topics are considered to be on the fringes of Christianity. But before starting this next series, God instructed me to establish among anyone who is reading my blog or listening to this podcast that he is above all, infinitely stronger, knowledgeable, and wiser. And though he is allowing these things to take place in open rebellion to his word, he has appointed the time when he says, no more. These episodes will not glorify darkness and its power, but will reveal darkness and show that it is God in control. And he is the only one we will glorify. Now end this with my favorite verse about the coming of the Lord in power. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads on the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. And if you wish to read the various posts on the website, it can be found at www.westcloudsrising.com. Thank you for listening.